escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. We have a lot to get into. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we are happy to be joined by the player who I think has been the best college basketball player over the last 25 years. Tyler Hansborough will be on the show coming up in 30 minutes. He is going to be in town for PickleCon. For those of you that play pickleball, they have a PickleCon. Tyler Hansborough is there. He will be playing in the tournament. He is on to promote it. We'll also talk a little basketball with him as well. Again, I believe over the last 25 years, I believe that Tyler Hansborough was the best player in college basketball, so certainly an honor to get a chance to talk to him. That is coming up in just a bit. We will also talk about this Cowboys and Commanders situation, and it's almost like I am the only person that has been here before. We'll talk about that. We got Vern on the show. Vern is actually sitting down for an exclusive one-on-one with the owner and chairman of the Kansas City Royals and John Sherman. He is doing that at 3. We are going to play that conversation in its entirety coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So really happy to get a chance to talk to Vern and then play his conversation with the owner of the Kansas City Royals. Before we get into the Royals, I want to remind you guys of a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend to check out the show. It'd be great if you could tell two friends, but you know what? Beggars can't be choosers. Just tell one person to check out the show. And number three, be sure to go stop by our friends over at The Other Place. They are now the sponsor of the opening segment of the show. It is brought to you by The Other Place with 5 metro locations serving great pizza for over 25 years right here in Kansas City. Be sure to stop by The Other Place and theotherplace.com. It is a new season for the Kansas City Royals. In some ways, I do not care what has happened prior to August 1st. The Royals have a chance. Now, the Royals don't have a great chance. They have about a 1 in 8 chance of making the postseason, but the Royals have a chance. We have broken the season down into stages. This is stage 1 for the Kansas City Royals. Now, I don't have to tell you guys, but I do have the numbers. The Royals have really struggled with opponents like they're going to play over the next week. The Royals this season are 25-37 against teams who are 500 or better. The Royals have struggled with the good teams. You cannot afford bad weeks anymore if you're the Kansas City Royals. That can completely eliminate you. A great week can get you back in it or have you in a favorable spot. A bad week can all but eliminate you. And next thing you know, you look up, you're 13 games out in the division and you're 6 or 7 games out in the wild card. There's no reason to talk about you making the postseason anymore. The Royals have 3 games in Toronto, who currently have the best record in the American League. They also go on the road and play 3 games in Boston against the Red Sox, a team that is directly ahead of you in the wild card hunt. If you want us to dream big and hold on to the possibility of you having a special August and September, it starts this week in Toronto, in Boston, against 2 teams that on paper are quite simply better than you. You know how I say back in April that you can't make the playoffs in April, but you can miss out on the playoffs in April? I think you have to kind of boil that down. The Royals can't make the playoffs this week. Even if they win all 6 of these games, that is not guaranteed that the Royals make the postseason. Now, it puts you in a great spot. The Royals are probably either in the 3rd wild card spot or a game out of the 3rd wild card spot if they take care of business and do what they're supposed to do. But you certainly can eliminate yourself this week. And if the Royals can get through this stage, if they can get through Toronto and Boston, 2 of the better teams in the American League, you then come out on the other end, and that's when the schedule really opens up and it allows you to gobble up wins. Now, you got to win those games. It's one thing to say that these games are played on paper and hypothetical and theories, but you have to actually go out there and do the work, so to speak. So I just gave you the stat. The Royals are 25-37 against teams who are 500 or better. The Royals are 29-18 this season against teams who are below 500. They pummel bad teams. Well, you know what? After they get past this stretch, after they get past Toronto and Boston, they have Minnesota for 3 games. They have Washington. Washington has the 2nd worst record in the National League. So they're just a regular bad team. Colorado is an historic bad team. Washington is a regular bad team. And then you also have the Chicago White Sox, a team that you have dominated over the last year and a half, a team that is currently 40-69. Nice. So look at this like stages for the next 2 weeks as we are in the middle of training camp, as we are heading towards preseason game number 1. It is now a fight to see if the Royals are going to continue to share some of the space with the Kansas City Chiefs, or are we preparing to make the full pivot into football season? This is a very important next 2-week stretch for the Kansas City Royals. You play some of the best teams in baseball in Toronto and Boston. You play some of the worst teams in baseball as Washington and Chicago. You cannot guarantee you make the playoffs during this stretch. You absolutely can miss the playoffs because of this stretch and because of you not either just going 500 against the good teams and gobbling up wins against the bad teams. You can't afford to lose series to the Nationals, not when you're playing from behind. You can't afford to lose another series to the Chicago White Sox, not when you're at a deficit. Just play 500 baseball in these next 6 games against Toronto and Boston. I don't care which 3 you win. I don't care which 3 you lose. Just try to go 500 in this stretch. And when you have that 9-game stretch, that's where you try to make up some of the ground and go 6-3, go 5-4, and start to chip away, get back to 500, get over 500, and give yourself a realistic shot of really being within striking distance in the later portion of the season and trying to make the postseason. We got a lot to get into in today's show. I do want to talk about Micah Parsons. I do want to talk about Terry McLaurin. I don't believe either one of those players are being traded. I think at this point it is just noise, noise, noise. We will get to that coming up in a bit. Vern will also be on the show. Also, we'll have Tyler Hansborough coming up in about 20 minutes or so. But before we do any of that, you guys know the rules. If we start the show talking Royals baseball, it can only mean one thing. Hit me, Rob!
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Carrington, in a weird twist of fate, today's Royals Ram lineup takes us back to 2015, where the team, right after the deadline, headed to Toronto in a very odd full circle moment. Here was the Royals lineup post-trade deadline in 2015. By the way, on this date in Royals baseball, Johnny Cueto got his first Royals start up in the Rogers Center.
Great times.
Leading off, the shortstop, Alcides Escobar.
Some folks say I look like him.
Batting second, at third base, Mike Moustakas.
Moose.
I have no recollection of Moose being a two-hitter, but that's neither here nor there. Batting third, the center fielder, Lorenzo Cain.
Didn't he finish second in the American League MVP voting that
year? I believe he did.
Behind Mike Trout?
Mm-hmm. Batting fourth, the first baseman, Eric Hosmer. Batting fifth, the designated hitter, Kendrys Morales.
That's the kind of player the Royals need to pick up this offseason. Mm-hmm. They need to find a Kendrys Morales.
Batting sixth, in left field, Ben Zobrist.
Ben Zobrist is my favorite player from that Royals team.
By the way, you can tell this is post-deadline. Ned hadn't figured out that Zobrist is not a six-hitter.
He should have been hitting two.
We'll figure it out. But on July 30, in the end of July, Ned didn't get it yet. Batting seventh, the catcher, Salvador Perez. Batting eighth, in right field, Alex Rios.
This is a really solid lineup. This is a really good team.
And batting ninth, the second baseman, Omar Infante.
They were working to get him off of the team.
By the way, the Royals did lose on this date despite
six. Did I miss Alex Gordon? Was he not playing this game?
He was hurt. He got hurt right before the deadline.
You're right. Because that was when a lot Dyson played for a pretty prolonged stretch.
And then that's when Zobrist showed up. He initially moved to left field.
For sure. Yeah, no, you're right. My bad.
By the way, the Royals lost on this date despite getting a nice effort from Cueto, who went six, giving up three runs with seven strikeouts. And then Madsen was really bad. Herrera made it worse. And the Royals lost on a Franklin Morales wild pitch. So the Royals lose on this date to the Toronto Blue Jays 7-6.
Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we are going to be joined by Tyler Hansborough. In my opinion, he is the best college basketball player over the last 25 years. You know what we're going to do before we catch up with Tyler Hansborough? If you have missed any of training camp, I am going to wrap all of training camp up in just 10 minutes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to talk a little Chiefs training camp before we catch up with Tyler Hansborough. We will get back to the Royals. Vern will be on the show. the owner of the Kansas City Royals. We'll play his conversation with Vern. We're going to have a lot of Royals conversations for you. We led the show with how important of a stretch this is for the Royals. The Royals are 25-37 against teams who are 500 and better. Their next six games are against those teams. The Royals can't afford to go 1-5 in the stretch. They cannot afford to go 1-5. I mean, I would say 2-4 is also a bad outcome for the Royals, but you can at least manage the 2-4. You just got to probably sweep one of these other teams. At this point, I don't know if you're asking too much of the Royals. They haven't been over 500 in a month or so, and you're playing from behind the eight ball. There's not a lot of time left. There's 2 months left in the baseball season. Like, you were going to blink, and next thing you know it, baseball season's going to be over. And when you are playing as well as the Royals are currently playing, and the offense has appeared to have a little bit of a hot streak, you got to try to keep that going. It does not matter which one of these next two series you win. You have to win one of these two series. You either go on the road and upset Toronto, you take 2 out of 3 from Boston, you come back after going just 3-3 in those. All right, cool. And then you got to try to win those series against Toronto, or excuse me, Washington, Chicago, or Minnesota, a team right now that just, Minnesota appears to have waved the white flag. Minnesota looks like a team that is just willing to play out the rest of the string. I saw them send out 9 thank yous yesterday for guys who have left the organization. They appeared to have a fire sale yesterday, so the Royals should be able to take care of business against them. We'll get back to baseball coming up in just a bit. You know that we are the show that loves to discuss running backs. Now, you guys know one of the small complaints that I had about the Chiefs offseason is I wish they were more active in the offseason when it came to running back. The Chiefs really didn't do anything at the position. They are trusting that they're going to get a much better version of Isaiah Pacheco than they had last year. They're counting on Kareem Hunt being back and being very productive this season. They brought in Elijah Mitchell from the San Francisco 49ers, that kind of Jerick McKinnon third running back type, and they drafted a running back in the 7th round in Breshard Smith. I wanted them to invest a little bit more resources at the position. You didn't need to spend a lot of money in free agency, but this was a running back class that a lot of people liked. RJ Harvey, Omarion Hampton, there were a lot of guys, a lot of names that we threw out there. I mean, there was an opportunity for them to get DJ Giddens. There's an opportunity for them to get Devin Neal. They passed on both of those opportunities and chose to get the linebacker, Jeffrey Bassa. We've already gone over that. I'm asking this question about the running backs before we kind of summarize training camp. Have you heard anything about their running backs? Like, think about the storylines that have really emerged from camp. You've heard a lot of conversation about Tyquan Thornton. He has had a good camp so far. We spent a lot of time talking about Josh Simmons. He has gotten some major praise from really everybody over the last 2 weeks, and I think it's been well-earned and well-deserved by him. Have you heard really anything about that running back room? Pacheco looks to be healthy. This isn't really, I would say, a scenario in which you're really going to be oohed and aahed by Kareem Hunt. That's not really his game and what I think really works for training camp. But last year, and maybe this was just a scarcity at the position, like, Carson Steele's name was starting to pick up a little bit of buzz. Haven't really seen that yet. Now, they haven't played a game yet. It's also early in training camp. But man, if there's something as we are a week away from the Chiefs actually taking the field against somebody else and playing a game, I mean, I would feel really good if either Elijah Mitchell or Breshard Smith made a little bit of noise, had a little bit of buzz and energy around them. I'm just not really feeling it right now. Rob, have you seen anything about their running back room? Because there's not many questions I think you can have about the Chiefs coming into the season. The running back room is one of the questions. I just haven't really heard anything about the position over the last 10 days since they've been up there.
Which, I don't want to sound like an alarmist because it's August 1st, but for a position that at least this show spent the offseason saying was not good enough last year, and then after the offseason concluded, me and you came to the same result, I don't think they did enough to fix the position. I would like to hear at least some camp buzz. Ooh, Breshard Smith looked great on a wheel route. Oh, can you believe he's great out of the backfield? His vision's incredible. Maybe I know we got a little bit of that with Kareem Hunt's in great shape. He cut out Swedish Fish, but outside of that, you haven't seen, hey, Kareem Hunt found the fountain of youth. You've heard a little bit about Pacheco having big goals, but that's about it. Is Elijah Mitchell at camp? I haven't heard anything about him. He's an idea. He's a figment of your imagination right now. So maybe this is just me seeing things through the lens of this show. But I feel like the Chiefs did not address running back strong enough in the offseason, and I would have liked to heard some buzz that, oh, the things they did were big because it's working at camp. Instead, I've heard a lot of more of the same from the position.
Yeah, no, I just haven't really heard a whole lot about it. That's just something that I'm going to kind of be keeping an eye on as training camp continues to progress. And just, I'd like to hear a little something from Bashard Smith. He was a guy that people were kind of high on coming out of SMU, certainly with an ability to catch it out of the backfield. Again, it's very early on. I don't think this is really an indication of anything with the team. But, you know, I feel like a lot of the other positions are kind of starting to pop a little bit. I don't know if their running back room has really popped a whole lot so far in the early part of camp. We're going to be joined by Tyler Hansborough coming up in about 8 minutes or so. We'll play that for you. Before we get there, I just want to update you guys on if you've missed anything at Chiefs training camp. Well, that's why we're here, just to update you on everything that is going on with the Chiefs. I want to play two pieces of audio for you guys. One of these pieces of audio is from yesterday. We had Jeff Allen on the show. Highly would encourage you to go check it out on the podcast page. I mean, Joshua Simmons has been the storyline, the conversation of Chiefs training camp. It is not close to me between that and any other story. We came into this training camp with an uncertainty around left tackle. Now, there still is an uncertainty, but that's because we just haven't seen him on the field yet. But I don't really know if you can have more hype, buzz, or anticipation for an offensive lineman than I think what you're hearing around Josh Simmons. And when somebody like Jeff Allen, who played on the offensive line in the NFL for a handful of years, when he makes a comparison to Trent Williams, I think you got to really pay attention to the source of Jeff Allen, a guy whose football opinion I respect very much, and the comparison that he made to Trent Williams, who I think is the best left tackle of his generation.
Trent Williams, without a doubt. And the biggest thing that makes him comparable to Trent is the efficiency of his movement. Trent is a really freak athlete. So is Josh. But they make it look so easy. I'm telling you, being able to get out of your stance and meet a defensive end at that spot or that injunction between the quarterback and yourself, it's not easy to do. That's why you see guys get beat off the edge. They can turn that corner. But with Josh and Trent, you never have to worry about them getting beat around the corner. So you're either going to have to run through him. You're not going to be able to go underneath him because he's in the perfect position every single time.
That was Jeff Allen yesterday on the show. I want to play this audio for you. This is from A.Q. Shipley. He was on the Pat McAfee show. He believes that the Chiefs have found their left tackle.
The kid they got out of Ohio State, I said this after the draft whenever you had me on the show, I said he was a top 10 pick. Josh Simmons, left tackle. The clips of him coming out, he is a top 10 pick if he doesn't get hurt against Oregon last year. They get him with literally one of the last picks of the first round, and he is going to be their franchise left tackle for the next 10 to 12 years. And they got an absolute steal with him. The clips coming out of him, here it is. Look, he's just shutting guys down. And he makes it look smooth. He's throwing guys like
a little dog.
He's got a little dog in him. I mean, he was arguably the best tackle in the draft before he gets hurt. He gets to go late to Kansas City in the first round. They got an absolute steal. It was an injury that a lot of teams were concerned with. But, I mean, he's young. He's coming back. He looks fierce. He's smooth as can be. He's athletic. He's strong. He's got the size. This could be a key piece for the Kansas City Chiefs.
We had Nate Taylor on the show yesterday, and he said that this is the most hype around a Chiefs draft pick since Isaiah Pacheco. Now, obviously on a different scale, Isaiah Pacheco was a seventh round running back. But if you remember, you know, a few years ago, when Isaiah Pacheco was at camp, it was pretty clear that the Chiefs had found something with Isaiah Pacheco. I remember it very vividly that offseason. Brett Veach said that he believed that there was an 1,000-yard rusher in rounds 5, 6, and 7. Now, I know that Isaiah Pacheco has not run for 1,000 yards. I mean, he ran for 930, has shown you the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, and has been a starting running back for two Super Bowl teams. So I think he ended up being very proven correctly when it came to Isaiah Pacheco. So a lot of the hype, a lot of the early buzz has been around their left tackle. I would say that there are three positions that are locked in. Joshua Simmons at left tackle, Creed Humphrey obviously at center, also Trey Smith obviously at right guard. And now we are trying to figure out the other two spots. Now, there is a camp battle, sort of, when it comes to right tackle. Is it going to be Jalen Moore, a guy that you gave $21 million guaranteed to and has not yet to play for your team? Or is it going to be Juwan Taylor, who is the second highest paid player currently on the team? Taylor was on the PUP list until he wasn't on the PUP list. And then when they put the pads on, he has been playing. I read today that there has been a rotation for the Chiefs over at right tackle. It's been a little bit of Moore. It's been a little bit of Juwan Taylor. But for the most part, I would at least say going into it, I would say that Juwan Taylor has to be considered the favorite at right tackle. That's not what I would do if I was the Chiefs. If I was the Chiefs and I thought it was close between the two, I believe that Jalen Moore would be the right decision because it would give you a two-year space of continuity for the Chiefs' offensive line. If that's the offensive line they put out there, that's the one that we think would be the 2026 offensive line. If you have Kingsley at left guard and then you put Jalen Moore over at right tackle, having the ability to have the same five grow together over a two-year stretch would be really enticing to me. But Nate made this point yesterday, and I certainly agree with them. It's not likely that you have all five offensive linemen play all 17 games in the regular season. Somebody gets injured. Somebody misses time. That's kind of the nature of playing football. So it seems to me, at least my prediction and how I think this is playing itself out, I believe that Jalen Moore is going to be the swing tackle, emergency breaking case, sixth offensive lineman for this team. I do believe that their offensive line is going to include Kingsley Suamataia over at left guard and Juwan Taylor at right tackle. Now, I think it is important to note, and we have certainly seen the Chiefs will not hesitate to make a change at the position, if especially regarding Kingsley Suamataia. If he's not good early on in the season, I don't think that's his job. He is the favorite currently at the job. They've given him all the reps for that to be his job. But if he gets off the gates slowly, I don't think they will hesitate to make a change over at left guard. I don't think they'll hesitate to make a change at right tackle if something goes poorly. You might have the job in August, but I certainly think the Chiefs have put you on notice about what their configuration can be. I don't think that's the case for the other three offensive linemen. I think that is the case for Kingsley Suamataia and Juwan Taylor. That, yes, this is a position that you might have in August. I don't know necessarily if you're going to have that same position in October or November, and we'll see how things play themselves out. We'll continue to talk about Chiefs training camp. We'll also continue to talk about the Royals, but earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with, in my opinion, over the last 25 years, he has been the best player in college basketball. We got a chance to be joined by Tyler Hansborough. Tyler Hansborough is going to be in town for PickleCon. We asked him, what got you into pickleball?
So my brother played a lot of tennis. I played a lot of ping pong. And so naturally, pickleball was kind of the middle ground for us. And there was no way I was going to pick up tennis. You know, anytime soon, it requires a lot of skill. And so, you know, the thing about pickleball is everybody, you can pick up and play pretty much your first time. And it's pretty easy sport to pick up, and it's a very addicting sport. And so we both started playing. Then we got into some family battles, and, you know, our family got involved, his wife's sister, and we just started going at it, and we've been playing ever since.
Who's somebody notable that you've played pickleball against? You said it's been a family thing, but you're right. This thing has really broadened out. A lot of people are playing pickleball. Have you had some great wars against somebody?
Well, pickleball, you never judge a book by its cover, first of all. I've been humbled many a times by the retirement community at Ephesus Park in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, when I first started playing. Some notable people, you know, it's, you think you're getting better, and there's one of the best players in the world, Colin Schick, who's he was in med school at UNC, and so I'd come across him every once in a while. I got an opportunity to play him in town, and it's just amazing how good some of these top professional pickleball players are, and it's, you just really can't describe how much better they are than just even a good average recreational player.
I would imagine that these games get really competitive. Like, you don't make it to the level of basketball that you made it at without being a fiercely competitive person. I'm guessing that this still gives you a lot of those same competitive juices and vibes when you get a chance to go up against either former teammates, former classmates, or your brother.
Absolutely. Pickleball can get the best of you emotionally. I've had a lot of outbursts that I'm not proud of and said some things I'm ashamed of saying, but that's just pickleball. Trash, you know, trash talking, and, you know, there's a social aspect. You meet a lot of different people, but yeah, it is very competitive, and believe me, when I play, I want to win. Naturally, I just want to win, and, you know, if there's a competition, but especially with the amount of money I've poured into pickleball and how much I've worked on my game, I definitely want to see some winning results.
So we had Sharon Collins on the show a couple of weeks ago when I asked him to make his, you know, his KU starting five. I want you to do the same exercise at North Carolina. We don't got to go historical. We don't got to go Michael Jordan, James Worthy, but just guys over the last 25 years, guys from your freshman year until now. If you had to create your own starting five at North Carolina, what would it be?
I'd have to go Ty Lawson. I played with him. Unbelievable player. National championship, national champion. Man, I can't remember when Antoine Jamison retired or when he left school. I'm not sure if he falls in that 25-year category. I'm going to put him on hold. Myself, Sean May, I'm going to go big. I'm going to put Antoine in there if he falls in that 25-year gap. And we got to have a shooter. So I'm going to put Wayne Ellington in there as well. Is that five or six?
No, that's five. That's a solid five. That five is giving anybody's alumni, that five is giving them trouble.
All right, perfect. I like it.
What is it like to be a part of such a rich history and tradition at North Carolina? You mentioned some of the great alums. I mean, Michael Jordan went there. Vince Carter went there. Sam Perkins, James Worthy. Your name is among them. You were one of the greatest players to ever play at North Carolina. What is it like to be a part of that fraternity?
Well, so I met the criteria to get my jersey retired my junior year. And it's funny because I laugh even thinking about, you know, when I used to look up at the jerseys in the rafters, I actually laughed when I saw my name next to, like, Jordan and, you know, Antoine and those guys, just because I consider them, you know, just like, they're like gods to me almost, because I was such a basketball fan, and to see my name up there with, you know, some of the all-time greats, you know, I'm super honored to be up there. But those guys, you know, make Carolina what it is, and, you know, I put a lot of work into my game, so knowing that, you know, my jersey's up there with some of the greats. It represents a lot of people in my community and a lot of people who have been there with me throughout my basketball journey.
I mean, you're kind of the last of a dying breed in college basketball. Like, we're around the same age, but, like, we got a chance to, like, see your game grow and mature and the highs and lows and the battles that you had against Duke or against Kansas or against those teams. And you stayed all 4 years. I don't feel like there's many players like you in college basketball anymore.
Well, they're staying 4 years, but not at the same school. Maybe even longer nowadays. It is different. The landscape has definitely changed, and I agree with that. I think the quality of basketball has taken a hit, in my personal opinion. And what I don't like about it is, in particular, the portal. I think that kids aren't getting coached like they used to. I think there's a lot of value, you know, into a kid being under the same coach for 4 years and having a tough coach really coach them, discipline them, and teaching them the game. So I don't see, you know, pretty much, you know, the improvement kind of like all college basketball fans used to see from a freshman year kid to a senior year kid. And, you know, I don't like that aspect, but, yeah, I think playing for Coach Williams for 4 years, I was in a very good situation, and I got to play for, you know, one of the greatest coaches ever, and I learned a lot, and it's helped me shape me as a person and as a player.
You mentioned the transfer portal. NIL is also a major part of today's game as well. Do you think about the amount of money that you would have got for your senior year to come back to school and play in North Carolina? You would have been the highest paid player in college basketball. You'd have been in a bunch of commercials in 2008, 2009.
I would have loved to have a little extra cash. I don't know anybody that doesn't want more money. But you know what? I would rather have the experience that I had at UNC, and I mean that. I don't think that my team would have stayed together for 4 years, and I wouldn't have had the experience I had. I made a lot of money in the NBA and playing basketball, which is, you know, if you're good enough, eventually that will take care of itself. But, no, I don't think my team would have stayed together, and we wouldn't have had, you know, the same experience as during the NIL era.
A couple of questions about your career. Number one, what made you wear number 50? Like, whenever you were a kid and they were assigning numbers, 50 was not the number a lot of kids gravitated towards. Like, you wanted 21 or 23 or 15. What made you grab number 50?
Everyone says, why'd you wear 50? It's not my number. It's my older brother's number, Greg, who is, he's, you know, that's one of my best friends, my brother, and he's been an inspiration to me my whole life. So we played high school basketball together, and I actually, my freshman year, I wore, I think, 11, and he wore 50. And so whenever he left, I said, man, I got to take Greg's number. So I wore 50, and that's why I picked number 50.
Someone had to give you the nickname Psycho T. Who was the first person to call you that, and why do you think it stuck?
It caught like wildfire. Psycho T, so the person that gave me that nickname does not call me Psycho T anymore. He said it became new mainstream. It's a close friend of mine now, but it was a strength coach at UNC. I was a very quiet, shy kid growing up. But in the weight room, I've kind of pumped myself up, you know, just like everybody does. And it's a place where you can, you know, grunt a little bit and yell a little bit. And I did that. And he said, man, you're crazy. You're quiet and you come in here and yell. So he called me Psycho T. And I have no idea why it stuck, but people love that nickname. I don't mind it. I don't really care either way.
And that is Tyler Hansborough joining us on the show today. In my money, for the last 25 years, I think that Tyler Hansborough was the best player in college basketball. He won a championship in 2009. He was the National College Player of the Year in 2008, a consensus All-American all 4 years while he was in school, and his number is retired by North Carolina. Tyler, it was truly an honor to have you join us today, man. Really appreciate your time, and good luck at PickleCon.
Thanks, guys. Come check us out. It's going to be fun. We're going to put on a good show, so I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I got a chance to catch up with Tyler Hansborough. I know this might be sacrilegious to say this because this comparison, this player went to Duke. I think Tyler Hansborough is our version of Christian Laettner. Like, I'm just trying to think of, like, who the historical comparison would be. I think he's the 2000s version of Christian Laettner. Like, everything Laettner accomplished in the 90s, I think that's what Tyler Hansborough did. I just don't know if we have that player anymore in college basketball. So the point that he made, that player either transfers and isn't in the same school for all 4 years, or that player just eventually goes off to the NBA. So I do think, and I hope, that one of the benefits of name, image, and likeness, and one of the benefits right now of the way the system is I just think that college basketball needs more of these players. Like, college basketball was at its best when there were heroes and villains, guys that made you feel something. Tyler Hansborough was kind of one of those players. J.J. Redick was one of those players. Christian Laettner was one of those players. Remember, Marshall Henderson was kind of one of those players. Zion was one of those guys. Like, just somebody that just gave you feeling and emotion. I hope that we can get that back in college basketball. Coming up on the other end, major NFL news. ESPN is buying up NFL Red Zone. What does that mean? Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple of things here coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get back to talking some Royals baseball. I have two random thoughts before we talk about this ESPN story. The first thing is Keenan Allen is visiting with the Los Angeles Chargers. If you remember, they lost Mike Williams. He just retired one day. He just woke up and said, I don't want to work here anymore. And I'm out the NFL. So the Chargers are down a receiver. This is from Jordan Schultz. The Chargers are going to host Keenan Allen with the belief that both sides have an interest in a reunion. Allen has been waiting for the right opportunity, and a potential return to LA where he thrived for years would make a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, I kind of have been waiting for that this entire time. That's the only team that really makes sense. I mean, if you're going to join a team at this late in the season, usually you're going to join it to a place that you feel very familiar. You have some former teammates there. You've lived there before. Like, this makes a lot of sense to me. The Chargers need another receiver. Right now, you only got two, Ladd McConkey and Quentin Johnston. Johnston can barely catch. You put Keenan Allen with Ladd McConkey. You got a good tight end. You have a couple of capable running backs and a good offensive line. I mean, that's the best possible place for Keenan Allen. I expect a deal to get done, and I expect Keenan Allen to have a reunion with the Los Angeles Chargers. Did you see this? Rob, did you see that we are at the point where 50% of the internet activity is done by bots? Did you see that Wall Street Journal report yesterday that is the case? I have a theory, and this theory is tied to the latest internet controversy. I'm sure by now you've seen this Sydney Sweeney back and forth. This is the thing, though, and I see this happen a lot, actually. I never actually see anybody complaining about these stories. I just see people complaining that other people are complaining about the story. I all think it's part of a marketing scam. I don't know if that's a hot take or a theory or if other people are in on this, but I think that part of a way to push things is to make it feel edgy. Oh, hey, look, people are complaining about this. Then it gets you to watch it and you're like, wait, this isn't even really that bad. Or wait, why are people mad about this? I'm a big believer that that's happening. I follow enough people on social media. I have not seen on my timeline, maybe on your timeline, Facebook, whatever. I haven't seen a single person complain about this Sydney Sweeney story. Yet all I've heard is that people are complaining and upset about the story. I'm a big believer that online discourse is part of a marketing strategy for a company. We put out an ad, and now we drum up interest around it. That's what I think. And when I saw that 50% right now of internet activity is done by computers, it just made even more sense. Like, oh yeah, this is all a game. This is all we're being controlled by the puppet master. That's my Big Brother conspiracy take for the day. All right, let's get back to very serious sports things. Now, maybe I'm crazy in thinking this, but can you tell me how a news outlet, which that's what ESPN is, right? Like, ESPN is a news outlet. How can a news outlet whose responsibility it should be to cover the league impartially, how can they now have a deal and a working relationship with the company that they're supposed to give unbiased news with? So we just found out that essentially NFL Network is about to be owned by ESPN. All of their major properties, the games that they currently have, they are now giving them to ESPN. Their big property, which is NFL Red Zone, they are now giving it to ESPN. ESPN went out and bought it. Now, we don't know what that means. Is NFL Network still going to broadcast it from ESPN Studios? I don't know what this means. My first thought is, can you do this? Like, I feel like we have some weird lines that are being crossed. Like, ESPN has a partnership with the SEC, also with the college football playoff, but we want to think that the selection process is completely neutral. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. How can you cover the NFL and cover issues like what's happening with collusion? How can you cover that fairly if you have such an intimate relationship with the National Football League? All of it just seems really, really messy to me. No one cares about this. We only want to see the games. This is where I'll defend ESPN just a little bit, which I don't know why I'm always in this position of trying to defend ESPN. It is almost impossible to mess up Red Zone. It really is. I don't think they're messing up Red Zone. Now, are they going to add some ESPN thing to it? Sure, right? Sure. Will they show a cut to somebody who gives us some quick analysis? Yes, probably. But I don't think the people that run ESPN are dummies. I think they all know what we want Red Zone to be. As somebody who, I don't really watch 12 o'clock games anymore. I mean, I'll have them on, but the television that has the bigger screen in my apartment and has the audio is Red Zone. That is actually my preferred way of watching the NFL. I love Red Zone. It usually consists of, at 12 o'clock, I'm watching Red Zone. At 3:25, depending on what the major 3:25 game is, I might have that on the screen. I'll have Red Zone so I can get the other games. Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, there's no Red Zone option available. I think ESPN knows what the responsibility here is. We don't want you guys to overly produce this. We've got Red Zone set up exactly how we like it. You give us the Octobox. You show us the games, you show us the highlights, you show us what this guy did in fantasy, quick cuts, not a lot of stoppage. That's all we want it to be. I'm not really upset if we get a 30-second Stephen A. Smith drop-in on what's happening. That doesn't really bother me that much. Or a Pat McAfee little drop-in. I mean, if you watch Red Zone enough, especially when you get to 3:25 and there's not a lot of games on, they're showing you highlights of things that we've already seen anyway. So I don't think ESPN is going to mess up Red Zone. I really don't. I don't think they're going to mess it up. I think it's really, really hard to mess up NFL Red Zone. Like, almost nearly impossible to mess it up. Will they do some ESPN things to it? Sure. Sure. They will do some ESPN things to it. You get to do that when you have ownership of a thing. Absolutely. But I think this is kind of easy. And I don't think that there's going to be too much of a problem that is going to exist with ESPN now having some level of control over NFL Red Zone. I want to play one thing for you guys before we talk about the top story in the NFL coming up at the top of the hour. We'll also get back to the Royals. Bill Self was on a podcast. He believes that Darren Peterson is the best freshman that he has ever recruited. Here's Bill Self.
As a freshman coming in with the ability to put a team on his back, I'll be honest, I don't know that I've had one. Wow. We didn't ask Wiggs to do that as a freshman. Embiid didn't do that as a freshman. Josh had Frank Mason and Devontae Graham didn't ask to do as a freshman. With this particular roster, you know, let's just call it like it is. Darren needs to be the guy. And if he's that guy, then you know, he'll put up numbers that are as good as anybody we've had here. But the bottom line is those other guys around him need to develop so he can not have to be the guy all the time. Because, you know, if Flory keeps developing, Bryson Tiller, you know, Melvin Council, Cole Rosario, Jaden Dawson, if Trey White, if those guys keep developing, then he won't have so much pressure on him to perform. But I haven't been around anybody that's more prepared to be a college freshman that can carry the load more so than what Darren can.
Rob, I'm going to tell you this. You guys better be right. Now, I know KU fans, you guys are used to making fun of the rest of us. And I get it. When you've been on the mountaintop for as long as you guys have been on the mountaintop, I understand. You guys have won championships. Our teams haven't. Your team's been to the Final Four recently. My team's never been to the Final Four. K-State, you guys went to the Final Four before integration. I don't even know if that can count anymore of going to the Final Four. I get it. The way you guys have hyped up this Darren Peterson, I'm telling you, he better be good. Or I'm telling you that Missouri fans and K-State fans, you will never hear the end of it if Darren Peterson is not good. I hope you're prepared for that. I hope you're – if he ends up being Josh Selby through all of this stuff, I'm telling you, the jokes will rain from the heavens. We will be a very annoying bunch if he doesn't turn out to be – he just said he's the best freshman he's ever recruited. Bill Self said this. He's won 2 national championships. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. That's what we're saying? Okay. I've seen the kid play. He was good. He was very good. Best freshman ever. I didn't get that vibe from him, but he was very, very talented. Rob, I hope you're prepared. I mean, from early on in the season, he better be good. I don't want to, oh, he's young. He ain't going to be there that long. I hope you're ready. I hope you're prepared for... It is going to be unrealistic expectations on this kid and criticism if he ain't good from the very, very beginning of the season. He better be a legitimate hooper. He better look like the number one overall pick because that's what you guys have been telling me he is now for the last 6 months, that you guys were bad last year. You couldn't wait to get those other guys out of the mix. And now Darren Peterson is coming to get you guys back to glory. Oh, it's going to be a fun college basketball season. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's get back to the Kansas City Royals as they go on the road against Toronto and Boston. Keep it right here. So drive.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.